We thought he was just some god that you tried to achieve, you know, some type of status with, or you tried to climb your way up and touch him and somehow work your way up and get close to God. And you go through all these rituals and all this religious form and the lighting of candles and the walking down the aisles and the flowing robes and all the pomp and ceremony and all the junk that people got caught up in called religion, you know. And God is saying, just come to me. The door is open. The window's open. Jesus says, I'm the door. If any man comes through me, he can get to the Father. Just call on me. Just call on Jesus. Wow, he made it simple for us, didn't he? Yeah. Hallelujah. It's not a complex thing. It's simply believing the report that God has given unto us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son of God has life. We don't need anything else, do we, except to walk with Jesus now. That's it. He made it simple. Hallelujah. He actually came to take the yoke off, see, off the people who were doing all the stuff and all the ritual and all the practicing of religion. He came to take that off so that they could just understand that, hey, you don't have to do all that. You know? When me and my wife got together, you know, she didn't expect me to do all that stuff for her. You know, sometimes we get the wrong impression, even when you're dating, you know, you got to do all this stuff. How many want somebody that you just have to constantly be trying to please? Huh? No, I mean, it becomes bondage, doesn't it? It becomes a chore after a while. It's like, man, I can't ever please. I'm always trying, but I'm never quite getting there. But you want to be with somebody who says, I just want you to be with me. That's it. I just like you being around. Even if we don't talk, I just want you to be around me. Hang out with me. Because, you know, Jesus and I sometimes we'll go for a trip or we're on our way somewhere. She's just beside me. We don't have to say a whole lot. We may say two words. We're just quiet a lot, but we're together and there's just this thing that we have that's special. You know what? And I miss her when we're not together. But that's because there is love. It's a relationship. And isn't that the way it is in the Spirit? It's just about walking together with God in intimacy and knowing that, hey, I don't have to perform for God. He's not impressed by my religiosity. You know, we can't impress Him because whatever we had, He gave us anyways. He's not impressed by what you got. He's not impressed by your talents. He's not impressed about how well you sing or play guitar even, right? Because whatever He gave us, it was from Him. All good gifts come down from the Father. And so as He gives us blessings, we bless Him. When He prospers you, you bless Him back. When you receive His glory, amen, it wants you to give Him glory. When He dotes on you and He praises you and say, well done, my good son, you know, well done, my faithful servant. And when the Father validates us, what do you want to do? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I love you. I appreciate you. You're so good. Hallelujah. Praise is not something you have to, right? It's just an automatic overflow of that which you have already received as God has been gracious to us. Thank God that His justice was satisfied at the cross. Amen? Because if we pray for justice, we're smoked. But the justice of God was satisfied, amen, when Christ became the curse for us. That we could receive the blessing. His justice was satisfied, wasn't it? The Bible says that cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Jesus became that. It says He who knew no sin became sin for us. That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Wow, that's amazing. How many righteous people are in here tonight? Let me see a show of hands. How many are righteous in here tonight? Okay, how many righteous people are here through Jesus? Are righteous through Jesus? All right, just want to make sure. Okay, all right. What you see is what you get, right? That's us here. We are transparent. We are real. Amen? We don't have to be anybody we're not. Because if you're not who you're supposed to be, somebody's going to miss who you are. So God says, be you, so that you can be a blessing to someone. You can fill up in somebody else that's lacking in them because you have what they need and they have what you need. But ultimately, we receive all good gifts from the Father. Unity is a result of not us trying to get along better. Unity is a result of you and I walking in the Spirit. When we stay connected to Him who is the standard, then we're all tuned to the same standard, and there's automatic unity. There's harmony when we're all tuned to the same standard. Right? That's unity. It's not something that we strive at or we negotiate, or as the politicians have been trying to do for how many thousands of years now, to have world peace. There's not going to be any world peace until the world has the Prince of Peace. Amen? So, serving God's purpose in this generation. David was known as a man who served God's purpose in his generation. We've been talking about David today. We've been talking about the fact that David was a man after God's own heart. Why was that? Because David was a worshiper. David's number one, his one thing, his one goal was to live his life in worship to his God. Not as just something he did as a ritual on Sunday or, you know, but as a way of life to worship. He even established 24-hour-a-day worship where there was singers and musicians that offered praise to God continually, 24/7. It was called the Tabernacle of David. So David, being a man that pursued the heart of God, he was a man after God's own heart. And because of that, the Father was delighted in David. He said, now here is a man after my own heart. He delighted in David, even though David made mistakes. David was not perfect, but he still, it did not stop him from pursuing his God. Even when he failed, David realized that he had to repent. He knew that he'd blown it. Yes, there was consequences for his actions. How many know it's not wise to disobey God? There's still consequences often for what we're doing. However, it did not stop David from pursuing God. Instead, David came to a place where he couldn't take it anymore. Of course, he had a little help with Nathan the prophet. And God has people sometimes that will speak into our lives and wake us up so that he would understand that, you know what? There are no secrets, David. And that thing that you're just allowing to fester within you is going to continue to eat at you until you get it right with God, until you get that thing off you and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Amen. David repented. He turned to God. And Father receives him. How many know God always receives you? It doesn't matter what you did. Father is just waiting for you to come to Him. I know you fell down and you skinned your knee. Just come on back up here. Let me take care of that problem for you, alright? He never gets tired of forgiving us, folks. God never gets tired of forgiveness. I know that's hard to believe. I don't know how many, 70 times 7 is a lot of forgiving, okay? And some of us have probably gone over that. But the point was, is that Jesus was making a point that God will always forgive if you will come to Him in sincerity. Yeah, amen? Not just giving Him lip service and say, oh, God, get me out of this one and I'll do this for you. Come on, we want to negotiate with God, you know, make deals, cut deals with Him. God, I'll do this if you do that. You come on His terms, not on your terms. His terms are repent. Change your mind. Get into agreement with me. Once we get into agreement, now you're preparing a way in your heart for me to come in to fill your life. Because I want to bless you, but you've got to get into position for the blessing. So David was a man after God's own heart. He served the Lord. In Acts chapter 13 tonight, he knew personal failure. Has anybody beside myself ever failed before? How many know that life is a series of tests? How many know that life is a series of successes and failures? How many know that failures can be good? Amen? Failures can be turned around for success. No one likes to fail. But sometimes it's necessary for us to wake up and realize some things, to learn, to grow, to develop, to mature. We've got to make mistakes. You know, I'd rather take a risk and make a mistake than do nothing. There are Christians who do nothing. They play it so safe that they do nothing for God. Yeah, there's no fruit in that, is there? As a matter of fact, faith throughout the Scripture is active. Faith is active. Faith is always requiring an action on our part. Think about it. Is there anybody that you know that is mentioned, even you look at Hebrews 11, in that chapter as being a person of faith that did not have some type of action to back it up? Yeah. Faith is never passive. Faith is not just sitting around and hopefully something good will happen to me. Or hopefully the will of God will get done. How many know you got to get off your butt to get the job done, right? You got to get up, you got to pray, you got to prepare, you got to go. You got to do what God tells you to do. You got to get over yourself, get over your own emotional insecurities, and know that God has got what you need in His presence. Get into His presence where you'll receive the grace and the help and the boldness, the power by His Holy Spirit to do something you couldn't do anyways. Because His purpose, His work for us is bigger than we are. The assignment on your life tonight is bigger than you. And if you want to fulfill your assignment, you're going to have to step out of your comfort zone into the place of faith. Believing that what God promised, He can do. That what God told me to do, He will also back me up in it. I'm finding out more and more that God waits for me to take the first step. He says, do this. And while I'm waiting, say, God, make it happen. He's saying, you got to do that first. You got to prove to me that you trust me. Testing of faith. We are actually practicing and trying, if you will, we're trying out our faith. It means to try it out. When James talked about the testing of your faith, it really means to try it out. How are you going to know that the gifts of God are real and that they're here? Amen. They're available to the body of Christ if you don't practice, if you don't step out, if you don't take a risk. The problem is our pride, sometimes it's our pride, gets in the way. What if something doesn't happen? Well, get yourself out of there. Don't worry about what you look like. Go with a heart to make God look good. Go with a heart not to make you famous, but to make Him famous. Get out of the way. Step out of yourself and begin to minister to somebody else. People that do the best, even the psychiatrists will tell you that people that do the best in this life, even non-Christians, are people who live for others, who are serving others, who are giving to others. Even many of the celebrities, they know there's something good about blessing people and helping people and feeding the hungry. They know there's something good about that. They may not know Jesus, but by their actions, they're demonstrating that they have a knowledge of God and of His ways. So David was a man who served God and His purpose in his generation. We need to be people that, within the time frame of our life, are completing the assignments that we have. Jesus came, He had a certain amount of time on the earth to do His Father's will, are you with me? And to complete that work that He gave Him to do. It wasn't enough just to begin well and have good intention, but it was everything for Him to complete His assignment. Paul, he was consumed with the zeal of the Lord and a desire to know that at the end of his days that he had done the will of God in Christ that concerned him, so that when he saw Jesus, he could rejoice together in that day. Amen? He said, for me is laid up a crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. Why? Because he had kept the faith. He had fought the good fight. Paul was able to say at the end of his life that he had done what he was called to do. And he had scars all over his body even to prove, amen, that he had done the will of God. It wasn't always easy. Many times he had suffered because of his testimony of Jesus, but he was willing to do whatever God told him to do because he also, as David, had a heart that pursued the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. We learn from the examples of these who've gone before. David wasn't a quitter. David was not a quitter. God saw something in David, and probably David didn't see it in himself. Do you know that God sees something in you that often we don't see in ourselves? Often you need somebody to come alongside and validate you. The Holy Spirit will give you a word of encouragement for a brother and a sister so that you can be validated in that thing that He calls you to do. Or even in understanding your identity. People, even in the body of Christ, they don't understand their identity. They're just trying to add or patch their life up. They're just trying to add stuff to the old. You got to get rid of it. The old isn't any good anymore. God gives you a brand new beginning. You build on that new beginning, on that new foundation. You walk in the Spirit. You sow into the Spirit now. You don't live in a way of a performance mode. You walk with Jesus, and as you do that, you bear fruit because you're loving Him. When you love somebody, you don't do those things that grieve them, but you do choose to do those things that please them. It's a relationship of love. So Acts chapter 13, we're getting there. In verse 13, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue. How many know they went to church on the Sabbath day and sat down? And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Now that's what we did tonight, isn't it? We gave you opportunity, right? So here's Paul. You know, he was just chomping at the bit. I said, oh, here we go. And they probably said, oh, no. Oh, no. What have we done? Paul stood up in verse 16 and motioning with his hand said, men of Israel and you who fear God, listen, the God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges for about 400 years and 50 years until Samuel, the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king. So God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. When they had removed him, and when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. Why was he a man after God's own heart? Because he was a worshiper. Because David's heart was set in completely his offering his life to God as an act of worship, of service to Him. Worship is more than singing songs. Worship is you and I offering our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. And so, even though David had failed, you know, over and over again, David would turn to the Lord. He wouldn't run away from God, but he ran to God. This is a lesson for us, folks. When you blow it, God doesn't hate you because you made a mistake. The devil wants you to believe that God hates you when you blow it. He wants you to run away from God rather than run to Him. So when you blow it, you come to God with a repentant heart and sincerity, and you come to Him and say, God, I'm sorry, I blew it, forgive me. And you know what He does? He forgives you. He cancels the debt. And He says, come home. Yes, there are times that we do reap what we sow.
Yes, we do.
However, comma, God's mercy is greater than all of our sin. So in other words, it doesn't hinder our relationship with Him. When He tells us to straighten up, we say, okay, Father, I straighten up. Get in line. Okay, Father, I'm in line. Now I want to bless you. Get into position so I can bless you. Okay, Father, what I got to do? You know? Remember what I told you to get rid of in your life? Yes, Father, I remember. Get rid of it. But Father, get rid of it. Well, one of these, get rid of it. It's going to hinder me from getting to you. You see, again, it's not about you and I climbing the stairway to heaven. It's about God having an entrance into us. As we prepare the way, it creates an entrance of His Spirit to come in. Yeah, that's what John was talking about. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make His path straight. The King is coming. First, He comes in His Spirit. And then one day He's coming face to face in all of His glory. He's coming in clouds of glory. Every eye shall see Him. Hallelujah. Our Lord, indeed, even in like manner as He gone up into heaven, He is coming again. And it's time for His church to prepare, His bride to prepare, and get ready for the coming of the King. And as we prepare away in our hearts, He is able to flood our lives with His holiness, His presence. Amen. We integrate into Him who is holy, and then we are holy. And when we are holy, then we can help other people. If our lives are continually plagued with problems and hang-ups and addictions and this and that, hello, we're not going to be much help to people. You don't have to live in bondage anymore. Because there's absolutely nothing too difficult for God. There is no problem too big. There's no addiction too tough. Amen? There's no sorrow too deep, as the old song goes, that God can't soothe it. There's no mountain too tall. He can't move it. If He carried the weight of the world on His shoulders, I know my brother, I know my sister, that He will carry you. Come unto Me, He says, all you who labor and are heavy laden, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Then take My yoke upon you. Hook up with Me. Get into agreement with Me. And together, we will plow right through. Hallelujah. And I've got a beautiful future for you. I'm preparing a place for you. And on the journey, you're going to be able to bear fruit. You're going to be able to draw fruit as you're on your way. And you're going to be able to have an inheritance in heaven. Hallelujah. Because Father wants to bless you. And we get to do this. And so, David was raised up as king. And God said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after My own heart, who will do all My will. The question we need to ask ourselves tonight is, am I willing to do all of His will? Or are we just going to bargain with God and tell God, well, God, I'll do this, but I'm not doing that. Yeah. Come on. Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to go all the way? Yeah. We want God's way. Amen. You know, you've heard it said, the people that come Sunday morning, right, they love the pastor. The people that come Sunday night love the Lord. So, I'm kidding. I know the people on Sunday morning love the Lord too. But usually when in a Sunday night crowd, in most cases you're preaching to the choir, you're preaching to people that do love God, that are saying, okay, Lord, I just want to be equipped so I can go and do the work. Hallelujah. Well, your equipping is not, amen, just accumulating more knowledge. The knowledge is to open our eyes or give us revelation of Him, that we might know Him. When we know Him and we have relationship with Him, when you walk out your life day by day, you're walking with Jesus. When you walk with Jesus, fruit is automatic. It's not the fruit of our labor. It's the fruit of His Spirit. If you are a tree planted by the Lord, then the fruit, amen, is a result of the Lord. You are to produce fruit. What we're supposed to do is drink. Every tree needs to drink, amen?
Yes.
We've got to drink of His presence.
Yes.
We've got to be worshipers. As we drink, we receive nourishment that strengthens us, that gets out, amen, to the point where we begin to produce fruit. That means that we mature to the degree that now we are actually reproducing in others the life of Christ. God wants us to grow up to reproduce. So that's what we're doing. And we do that by practicing what we've already received, practicing what we've already learned. We are testing out our faith. One more time, I'm going to mention this, but it's so true. Elisha received the mantle of Elijah. It wasn't enough. He could have picked it up and said, what a nice mantle. Right? I think I'll put it on and just parade myself around and say, look how holy I am. Look how spiritual. God, I thank you that I'm not like those people over there. No. The purpose of a mantle was authority. Amen? Was power. For what reason? To reveal God. To manifest God. That people will see that God is. That He's alive. That Jesus is risen. What are the purposes, amen, of the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit? It's to demonstrate the reality that Jesus is alive. That He's indeed risen. Well, I don't believe that He ever rose again. It doesn't matter. When the kingdom of heaven is among you and God demonstrates, hallelujah, that He is. When someone is healed, when there's a miracle. Wow. The people said about Jesus, no one ever spoke like this man. He speaks not like the scribes, but He's one that speaks with authority. How could He speak with authority? Because He was under authority. And He was. But He was under His Father's authority. And the same thing is true with us. If we're under His authority, we have authority. And when we speak, our words carry the authority of God. So David failed, but yet David, again, completed his assignment. It says very clearly here, we read it, that God, that David served God's purpose in his generation. So he had reached his destiny in God. I don't know about you, but I want to reach my destiny in God. Amen? I want to complete my assignment. I don't want to do a half job. I don't want to I'll run for a little while and I'll sit down and kind of have a smoke or whatever. No. We are running the race. It doesn't matter how many times you and I fail. That's the point. God still loves you and He wants to work out His plan in your life. He wants His kingdom to come in and His will to be done on the earth. And He's counting on you and I. Folks, He has given to the church the assignment to call in the kingdom. That's why we are to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. We are to say, Your kingdom come, as a royal priesthood, to call it in, to pray it in. Amen. It's not enough just to have the knowledge of God. We need to practice. Amen. We need to apply what we learn. And if you make a mistake, get back up. Learn from it. You get wisdom often through, right? Making your own mistakes, but it always works better if you learn from the mistakes of others. It works better that way. Come on, this is full of examples, man. Learn, right? Oh, they blew it there. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, be wise through the Scriptures, amen? This works, that doesn't work. God's way always works. You're not a failure because you make a mistake. Sometimes we beat ourselves up. We're too hard on ourselves. Isn't it true? And the enemy just loves it. He just loves to get you in that funk of self-condemnation and, you know, God's just mad at you. God doesn't love you. You're just a mess. You might as well just throw in the towel. You think God's going to accept you back after what you did? Yes. Get behind me, Satan. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't matter how many times you fail. You're not a failure because you make mistakes. You're a failure if you forsake the Lord and refuse to repent. God alone is the only one who's able to pick us up when we fail. God alone is the only one who's able to see us through to the end. People who are professional boxers, who have fought many fights, I don't know if there's any that have been out there that have never, at least one time in their life, been defeated. They have lost battles. They have lost bouts. But that did not stop them. It did not deter them from wanting to overcome and become a champion. Are you with me? When we make mistakes, we don't stay down. You get back up and you say, I'm not going to allow this to stop me. I'm going to learn from this. And I'm going to be better, and I'm going to know how to do it better the next time. Yeah. That's called maturity. You're growing up. Yeah. Hallelujah. But there are some people who want to stay in the bubble. Are you with me? The self-conscious bubble, and they want to put a shell around themselves. If I just stay in this place of security, it'll be safe. Uh-uh. The devil will say, you go ahead and stay in that bubble.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I'm robbing you from your eternal destiny. I'm taking away what God wants to give you. You stay in that bubble. You stay in that fear that I put you in. It's time for us to rise up and say, you know what? I might have gotten beat up once, but this next time I'm not going to get beat up. I'm going to beat you up.
Yes.
You are going to go. I'm not going to go. You're going to get out of my way because I'm on a mission, and because God has called me, and because God has given me authority, and because God is with me, you cannot stop me. The only thing He can do is try to discourage you so you defeat yourself. But He cannot stop you from doing the will of God. The hardest thing about getting started is what? Getting started. 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it.
Yeah.
Come on, we've got to get our zeal inspired. Get on fire for God, amen? It's not something that you work yourself up to. It's something that God does in you as you pursue His heart. Because God, hallelujah, is an all-consuming fire. And when His fire is burning in you, your zeal will be inspired. You can't help but love. You can't help but serve. It's in you. You can't stand sitting around doing nothing. It's like, Lord, what can I do? What can I do to help? How can I make things better? How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you know when you've had a good worship time? Then all of a sudden your perspective changes. And I'm like, wow, God, what can I do for you? How can I minister to the Lord? Abraham ministered to the Lord. When the three men showed up, he went and he got the fatted calf and he put everything out and he ran and he had his servant go and prepare everything. And he said, Lord, what can I do to bless you? How can I serve you? Zeal of the Lord. We read about Rebekah this morning. It says that she ran to get the water. She ran to serve the servant of Abraham, his master. She had zeal because of that, because she had a heart to serve the Lord. Are you with me? To minister to the Lord, she obtained favor from the Lord, and she was the chosen vessel to be the wife of Isaac. And so we're in a marathon. It doesn't matter if you came in last. The matters is that you win. Amen? That you cross that finish line. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. The only thing you're going to be able to take with you, folks, amen, is that what you did for Christ. That's what you did in obedience to the Lord. Now, if there's failure in your life, what do you do? Yeah, you just come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. Cleanse me, wash me, Lord, restore me, renew a right spirit in me. Hallelujah. And quit comparing yourself to somebody else. Amen? Hallelujah. You're not going to heaven because you're better than the next guy. You're only going to go because Jesus qualified you to go. Because if you and I, if we believe the lie that we're a failure, we won't accomplish anything for God. If you believe that lie, that you're a failure, guess what? You'll live a failure. Yeah. Isn't it true as a man thinks in his heart? So is he. If you just think you're a failure, then chances are you're going to live a life of failure. If I believe that I'm an overcomer, I'm going to overcome. If I believe that I'm righteous in Christ, then I'm going to live righteous. It's what you believe. It's faith in what you believe. Do I believe what God said about me? That I'm a child of His. I'm a joint heir to the throne. That means that I can come with confidence to my Father. Hallelujah. Not because of what I did, because of what He did. And allowing me to come by the blood. The blood covers us. Peter gets picked on a lot, but I want to say it one more time. Peter, Jesus knew that Peter would fail. Isn't it true? He knew he was going to fail. He didn't kick him out the door. He didn't kick him while he was down. He said, Peter, you're going to blow it. You're going to deny me. Three times. Before the cock crows, right? Oh, no, Lord, not me. Aren't you glad that story's in the Bible, by the way? I think we've all done that, right? We've all said, oh, God, if you do this for me, I'm going to do that for you. And, you know, we make bargains with God, you know. And then we don't keep our end of the bargain. Just quit making oaths swearing oaths and making bargains with God. Just get up in the morning and say, God, I give you my life. I give you my day. Lead me in the way I should go. Open my eyes to the opportunities. Open my eyes to the doors that you're opening and the opportunities to let your life shine through me and reach and touch others around me and affect change in my world. Lord, I want to walk with you today. I just want to walk with you. Hallelujah. I don't have to separate my Christianity, you know, from Monday from Sunday. It's not just about going to church to worship. This is good that we're here. Amen. But it's you and I on a daily walk, a daily basis, serving the Christ, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. All right. How many here tonight are totally committed to the way forward? Amen. That's it. There's no looking back. There's no going back. There's no turning back. We've got the ball in our court. We're not going to drop it. Amen. We're in this all the way. We are totally committed to the way forward. And so God looks upon the heart that is in pursuit of His heart as David, a man after His own heart, a worshiper. His life goal was to dwell in the house of the Lord all of his days. Amen. That meant that I was going to walk in communion with my God throughout my life. And as we walk in communion with our God, hallelujah, and we've been given access through the blood of Jesus at any time, any place, it doesn't have to be here. As we walk in communion with God, then His purposes will automatically be fulfilled. Your life will come into order as you are acknowledging Him in all your ways. Lord, what about this? Lord, there's a decision I need to make. What about that? What do you have to say about it? Yeah. He wants to show up in your life. He wants to manifest himself in your life. He wants you to know him. And so you got to believe that. Again, if we don't believe that God wants to reveal himself to us, then you're shutting the door for him to reveal himself to you. If you believe that God does not accept you, then you're going to walk around in self-condemnation. But if you believe that what Jesus said on the cross applied to you, it is finished. And those who come to God through Christ, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I come to you. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I come to you for grace. Grant me the grace and the help that I need. If you believe that he loves you, that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, then you'll receive what you need. When you pray, Jesus said, believe in your heart that you receive it. Whatever you believe is what's going to manifest in your life. That's repentance, is changing your mind about what you believe. I used to believe I was a failure. Now I'm not a failure. I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me. I'm not no longer a punk for the devil. I'm a child of the Most High God. Amen? I'm no longer a servant of Satan. I serve the Most High God. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes.